Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
And just, you know, honour them because... You know, volunteers are awesome. Let's pray. Let's pray and let's get into it. And then I believe I've got a message from God and it's going to be for us today. Here we go. Father God, we just want to thank you for the gift of Jesus at Christmas. We want to thank you because today we're anticipating that we will learn something, that we'll grow closer to you, that we will see something new in the Christmas story. Or we will just be refreshed in our hearts and our minds and in our souls about how good you are. Grow us closer to you as we walk with you each and every day. Lord, speak through me today as I preach your word. Open our hearts and our minds and be with us in the room and online to those who are watching. Let the message come from your throne room today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. Turn to someone. It's going to be a fun day, people. Turn to someone and say it's nearly Christmas. You know, Christmas is truly, truly a magical time of year. But when I was young and growing up, one of the things I loved to do as we got closer and closer to Christmas was watch how many presents started building up under the Christmas tree. And I don't know if you did this. You're going to have to pan with the camera for a minute. He doesn't like it when I move too far off stage. But when I was young, I would always go to the present and it would have my name on it, right? You picked up the ones with your name on it. And you'd kind of give it a bit of a... to try and figure out what was in it, right? Who did this? Come on, who did this? A few of you still... You'd shake to find out what's in it, right? Any guesses to what's in this one? Bacon? I wish it was bacon. Who wants it? Who wants it? Megan's got her hands up. You got your hands up. Two people. Oh, okay. All right, three or four. All right. We'll get to that in a minute. But I love to go and try and guess. You would rattle it to get the clue. You know, you want the clue. It sounds like... Because you couldn't actually open it because then your parents will wallop you and you never got it. But you know, you would... And you'd feel the weight, you'd get every clue you can to figure out what was in the present, right? You would, wouldn't you? Come on, who's honestly, as a kid, did some of you do this? Some of you did it, I did it all the time. Well, here's the thing, right? There's a time in history, a time when the people of God were in a dark place, a time when things were not so great, a time when they were struggling to hear God, God wasn't coming through. And Isaiah makes a prophecy. He says these words, and we're going to look at just one verse today. We're going to look at one verse. But he talks about the gift that God is going to give. In the New Testament, it says that God's given the gift of Jesus like something like 47 times or something like that, right? It's a fair few times. And we know, because we know John 3:16, the most famous verse, you know, that's Genesis 1:1. John 3:16 says, for God so that he, that whosoever, oh, come on, the words are up on the screen, you can't get this wrong. Like, for God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus is the greatest gift of all, amen? A greatest gift of all. And so we're going to look at one of these famous verses in Scripture. And so what I want you to do is I want you to get your Bible out. If you've got your Bible, you can open it up to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to look at one verse. Isaiah chapter... I know this is strange, me preaching just one verse. It feels a bit weird. Anyway, one verse. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. If you've memorized the entire Bible, you can close your eyes and recite it to us because that's impressive. If you don't have a Bible, grab one from the back. If you need to cozy up to someone and lean over their shoulder and just read it from theirs, you can definitely do that. We've got it up on the screen, so we got you covered. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For us. Someone say for us. Come on, you can do better than that. Say, for us. For us. For us, a child is born. For us, a son is given. Right there. That's Christmas, right there. For us, a child is born. And a that's important to note. For us, a child is born and a son is given. This is the Christmas story, that God so loved the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave his son to earth to be the price, to be the sacrifice for us, right? To eventually grow up, become 33 and a half years old, and then go to the cross to take our sin and our shame and our wrongdoing to die for us. For us. And then as he dies, 3 days he's in the grave, and then he rises again from the grave. The resurrection happens, right? He's alive, and he's now, you know, pierced the darkness. Light has come in, taken our darkness out, replaced it with his holy light, and we now have life. It was for us a child was born. It was for us a son was given. Amen? Say, for us. It was for us that he came. It was for us that he left heaven and his splendor and came into our darkness. It was for us that he left this place of glory and came into our mess, into our chaos, into this what we call life. It was for us. And Christmas is about celebrating the fact that Jesus came for us to take our place in death so that we could have life and life to the fullest. Yeah? For us, a child is born. For us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. I love this. Recently in Bunbury, actually all the shires did this, but in Bunbury we had a mayor change. Did you know that? We had a mayor change, right? We had Mayor Gary before, now we have Mayor McGill. McGill? McGow. McGow. Right? Please not be watching. If you are, shout out. Hope you're good. We'll do coffee soon. All right. But I had a chance to meet with the ex-mayor, Gary, during last week, or maybe the tail end of the week before. They're all merging now. And what he said was he endorsed the new mayor. He knew he wasn't going, he was retiring. So he knew he wasn't going to run again. So he endorsed the new mayor, Miguel. And he publicly did that. He came out and said, you know what? This is the man who needs to be in charge. This is the man who needs to be mayor. Right? What Jesus is saying here when it says the government will be on his shoulders, that it's saying that his rule and his reign doesn't require anyone else to endorse it. It sits on his shoulders. He endorses it. He's saying, right, I love this. He's saying that there is no one greater than Jesus. He's saying that there's no one more mightier than Jesus. He's saying that there's no one who has more authority than Jesus. There's no one that's saying that there's no one better than him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He doesn't need endorsement from anyone. His actual reign and rule sits on him and him alone. So when he says something, he'll deliver it. When he speaks, it will be truth. When he promises something to us, he will make it happen. At every action he takes will be good because he's endorsing it, because he is the greatest of the greatest of the great. Make sense? And we may not always see him working in our world, but he is at work for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Amen? Amen? He is, the government will sit on his shoulders. For us, the government will sit. He will rule and reign for us. Say, for us. Come on. For us. It is like the week before Christmas. You know, I'm tired. You need to give... The better you scream at me, the more better I'm going to preach. So maybe you're going to have to help me preach today. Here we go. Say, for us. For us, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He reigns. His government is on himself. There is no one better than him. And he comes as a baby. Fragile baby. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes as this fragile baby. Born in a manger. Born in a mess. A stable, that would have been a mess. It's where the animals lived. It's where they ate. And if they ate there, they generally pooed there as well, so it would have stunk. It was a mess. He's born fragile. Also, we could have life. Also, that we could be made right with God. All that we could have joy. So that we could have peace and eternal life. So that we could have love. and no love so that we could be saved. And let's face it, we couldn't save ourselves. That's why he had to come. Greatest gift God could ever give us was a way to get back to him. And it's found in Jesus Christ. Amen? This is Jesus we're talking about. Greatest gift of all. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus for us. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. Great, three people are excited. I'm excited about that. Are you excited about that? It is the greatest gift of all. But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Like this gift needs to be accepted, doesn't it? I mean, I could say, here, Marlene, this is yours. No, you don't get it because she doesn't want it. She says, no, I don't want that. Or I could go, Val, do you want this? And she goes, no, I don't want that. If you tell me what's in it, you can have it. Greatest gift of all. See, it's got to be accepted. And so what does Isaiah do to help people understand who Jesus is? He gives us four titles, four clues, so to speak. Just like, you know, we try and pick it up and we rattle it for clues. Four clues he gives us. Are you ready for the four clues? All right, let's keep reading part two of this verse. The first thing he says about Jesus, right? The four titles, or one of the first titles, it says he is a wonderful counselor. Say wonderful counselor. Now, when we think of counselor, when we think of a good counselor, a great counselor, a wonderful counselor, we think of going into someone's office, sitting down, they listen to us, maybe we're just like, and then they go, here's some really good advice for you. Isn't that right? That's what we think when we think counselor. Like, or we think they're just going to sit there and go, and be no help at all, really, right? That's what we think when we think of counselors. Some of us swear by counselors and say they're great. Others of us go, nah, they're no help. And, you know, there's, I don't care which side you sit on. But we think of counselors like that, don't we? And the problem is, in English, that's how it reads. But in Hebrew, the meaning is a bit different. In Hebrew, what it means is that it's someone who is wise, right? But more than that, what it's really saying is that God is wisdom itself. Make sense? That it means that we could go to God and he will know because he knows everything. And he will give us the best advice because he knows exactly what we need. It may not be what we want, but he's got exactly what we need because he is wisdom himself. Yeah? I think this is kind of cool, knowing that my God knows everything and is the wisest of the wise. He is wisdom himself. Like, this is the God we serve. It's not just, hi, give me some good advice, thank you for listening, I'll see you next week. No, he's got the exact thing we need because he is wisdom himself. And then he floats on to the next bit, the next clue. He says that Jesus is a mighty God. A mighty God. Mighty God. We know God's mighty, right? Eight people, that's getting better than three. We know God is mighty, right? All right. Our God is mighty. He is strong. He is powerful. But again, it translates. A better translation would be warrior God. A warrior God. And I think some translations may even have warrior God in it. If yours does, let me know. Warrior God. It shows us that there is a God who will fight our battles. Yeah? There's a God who will actually take a stand. And the greatest thing he took on was death itself. And he took death by dying on the cross, and then he rose again from the grave, kicked the devil up the woohoo, and he's out. Because God is mightier and stronger and more powerful, yeah? He's a mighty God. He's a warrior God. And it doesn't matter what battles we're facing. It doesn't matter where we're sitting with all of that. It doesn't matter what we're journeying through in life. He's going to be able to beat it. The psalmist in Psalm 93, this is not in the screen, but the psalmist in Psalm 93, he's sitting on a beach. maybe on the sand dune or something like that, and he's watching these waves crash into the coastline. Psalm 93, you can read it for yourself, it's not very long. And it's crashing in, and he's just looking at these waves going, they're relentless. They just keep coming and coming and coming. And do you know what? Life feels like that sometimes, where we just turn around and we can't catch a break. Like, it just seems like life is crashing over us each and every time we turn around and we go, what can I do to catch a break? And we feel like God is starting to leave us because life is just crashing over us. But then the psalmist does something really cool. He twists it and says, mightier than the thunders of the great water, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Amen? It indicates that God is actually more powerful than anything the world can throw against us. Absolutely anything. He goes before us. He goes behind us. He's around us. He's above us. He's below. He is with us because he is our warrior God. And it doesn't matter what we face, he can beat it. He can work in it. Amen? Man, you should be shouting and clapping and screaming by now. You see, the waves keep coming and the crashes of the seas keep happening, and God does his work in that and gets us through it. And he may lead us into the valley of the shadow of death. And he may take us to a place that we don't want to be in. But he ain't going to leave us there, is he? He's going to take us all the way through. And he will never leave us. Which is actually point number three. I'm getting excited and ahead of myself. He says this, third clue. He is an everlasting Father. Amen? Everlasting Father. He was there before the world was created. He'll be there after the world ends and the new earth and the new heavens come down. By the way, the new earth and the new heavens, no sin, no wrong, no tears, no pain, no heartache. It's going to be paradise with God. New heavens, new. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. He will be there because he is the everlasting Father. He is always there. He's not like fashion. Like, my daughter went out and bought some clothes. Every Christmas we have this tradition with our kids where we'll take them out shopping and they will get new outfit for Christmas. And every year it gets more expensive because they pick more and more branded names. But, you know, I have teenagers, so I'm broke all the time. But anyway, she's got these pants, these new pants, and I saw them last night. And then after she models them for me and she goes back into the room, I said to Zoe, they look like 1960s, you know, the flare bottom kind of pant things. And then she goes, well, actually, I had them when I was about that age as well. And then I realized fashion just cycles over, doesn't it? Just cycles over. Here's the thing, right? God is the same today. Or yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. He is constant. He is right. Which means that every time we start to think that he is the same, he is stable and secure. And we can build on that. We can build our lives on that, can't we? If he is the everlasting Father and he is the same, then we can use that as a foundation to build our lives on. Amen? Amen. He is so good, so good. Finally. Isaiah gets to the point and he says, here, one more clue for you. One more clue, right? One more clue. This is who this Jesus is, right? This is who this Jesus is. He is the Prince of Peace. Who wants some peace? Oh, yeah. I want some peace. I look for peace. But I realize that what a lot of us do, right? What a lot of us do is we think that if life is good, if we've got money in the bank, if we've got, you know, our boss is happy with us, if our husbands or our wives or our partners, boyfriend, girlfriends, whatever, if we're getting along and we're not fighting, if our, you know, extended family is all good and you know, our kids are behaving and doing what they're supposed to do and getting a good, then we kind of equate good stuff than being with the good God. And then when things go bad and go sideways, and we start to get into trouble, we think that God has left us. And this is what we do. We're at peace when things are good, because we think God is with us. And then when things go sideways, we think, oh, God's left us. And we're not in peace then. Right? We're not in peace. In fact, I'm convinced more than ever, right? I'm convinced more than ever that the world spends so much money at Christmas time because they're searching for that peace inside. That there's something going on in their lives and they're searching. So they spend dollars after dollars trying to find that thing to fill the peace, to fill the void inside. Yeah? I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that this is what's happening in our world. And as I said, we things are good, we think God's with us, and when things are bad, but here's what I realize and what I know, that we cannot have peace without conflict. Otherwise, there's no need for peace. Isn't that true? And conflict is not just between two people. It could be conflict with health, conflict with, you know, money, conflict with housing, conflict whatever. But we cannot have peace without conflict. Like otherwise, there's no point for peace. And God shows us that we can have a peace in the middle of the conflicts that we go through, in the middle of the trouble we find ourselves in. God says there's a peace to be had. When we were in Kalgoorlie, our very first appointment as our core officers, we were sent there very green, hadn't even got to college yet, we were candidate helpers, and we went there and we did this ministry there, and there was this lady named Pauline. All right? And Pauline was gorgeous. She was a lovely lady. Pauline was diagnosed with cancer. And she started treatment. The treatment made her hair fall out. The treatment caused her to throw up pretty much every morning. The treatment kind of she struggled to get dressed some days. It took its toll on her. Yet, whenever you saw her, she would always smile. And yet, whenever you saw her, she goes, "I'm good." I know for a fact she was struggling at home, but she'd go, "I'm good." She kept volunteering through it. I couldn't believe it. Sometimes she had to sit there the whole entire time and couldn't get up and direct people to, but she still kept going, and she still kept talking about Jesus and still kept saying that how good he was, because she had a peace. It was a supernatural peace. It was an unexplained peace. It was a peace that didn't make no sense from an earthly point of view. It's beyond our understanding. An unbelievable, total unbelievable peace, because she knew who her God was. And it wasn't dependent on what she was going through, whether life was good or bad. She just knew who God was. She kept her eyes there, not on what was happening here. And as I said, you know, some of us get into the valleys and we think, "Oh gosh, God's left us, what's wrong?" But for us, a child is born. And for us, a son is given. And the government will be on his own. He will reign on high. And he will be a mighty God. He'll be a wonderful counselor. He'll be a prince of peace. Peace, peace. You know what? In the middle of the worst thing you could ever go through, you could still have peace. What a gift that is. And born that day in the manger was peace, was love, was joy, was all of this. Born there was this indication of this gift that God has given us, this gift where he just says, "Here it is. Here's Jesus," and gives us these four clues. Wonderful counselor, wisdom himself, mighty God, warrior God who will fight our battles, everlasting Father, he's going to be the same, and Prince of Peace. I want peace. And this Christmas, I want to remind you that our God is for us. Say for us. Our God is with us, he is mighty, he is wise, he is everlasting, he is wonderful, he's a mighty miracle worker. There is nothing he cannot do. He is for us, and he's compassionate enough, and he beat death on our behalf so that we could have life and life to the fullest. Born that day in the manger was Jesus. And Isaiah gives us these pictures that it's for us. Our God is so good, isn't he? So good. Our God is so good. But here's the catch. You need to accept the gift. You need to accept the gift. I've heard it said, and there's no criticism on any other pastors, that Jesus did it all for us. And he did. Absolutely conquered death, went to the grave, rose again. We can have life and life to the fullest. But there's one small action we need to take. We need to accept that he did it for us. We need to accept the gift of who Jesus is and let him rule in our life. We need to actually take hold of it and open it and enjoy it. And what a lot of the world does is they like the idea of Jesus. They like the idea of him being, you know, the greatest gift of all and singing the carols and singing joy to the world and all that, but they're not willing to open the gift. Who wants to open the gift? I did pick on Marlene before. I feel like I should give it to Marlene. You want to open the gift, Marlene? Are you just going to put it there? Do one of the kids want to come and open it? Come on, kids, come and open it. Come and open the gift. Come and tell it. Come on, come and open it. It's nothing profound, but come and open it. What do you reckon is in it? Hang on, what do you reckon is in it?
I don't know.
You don't know? Rattle it again, here we go. What do you reckon? Your time's up. What do you reckon's in it?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. All right. Well, come. No, no. Where are you going? Come back here. Come back here. Come back here. The two of you can open it at the same time. Ready? 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 Come over here. Let's do this. Let's put it here. All right. The two of you, off you go. Quickly open it. Let's see what you got. And here's the thing. We need to accept the gift. Come on. Rip it. You don't know how to rip paper. Come on, what's, rip it open. Oh my gosh, it's taking a bit of time here. It's taking a long time to open a gift here. You guys savor everything on Christmas Day, don't you? Woo! Here we go. Okay, I secretly taped the whole entire... No, I didn't. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. All right, stop there, stop there, stop there. All right, let me give it back. Stay there, don't move, don't move. Some of us do this. We open a little bit, but we don't actually open it fully. These would be the people who come to church or check in every so often, but don't really dig into Jesus. They kind of let him in the front door of your house or your life, but don't let him in anything else. They like the idea, they like the fellowship, they like the being together, but they don't actually get right into who Jesus is, right? There's a challenge here for us. There's a challenge here for us, isn't there? That we need to actually dig deep into it. We can't just take the wrapper off. Because it's still, we need to get in. We need to get in. All right, let's go. Come on, open it right up. Told you it's nothing profound. What? There's a Christmas cracker. You want to pull it? Come on. Oh, hey, put the hat on. Put the hat on. There's a hat. Always a hat in a Christmas cracker. Where's the hat? Come and pull the hat out. Have you got the hat? There is a joke in there, but I'll see if I can find it later. All right, there's the hat. So when we open the Christmas present, do you know what he does? He makes us royalty. Hang on. Oh, I can't get this open. This is terrible. I should have pre-planned all this. I had a headset mic or something, right? Who wants the hat? Who wants it? No? Okay, I'll have it. I got a big head. All right. See, when we dig deep into the present, then he says, you are joined, your inheritance is with me. And if he's the king, what does that make us? Princesses and princes, right? Of the king. Of the king. Oh, there's the bad joke. We'll keep that for later. But life is sweet. Is sweet when we accept Jesus. There's your lollies. Come on, take some lollies. Take some lollies. Now there's two of you here, so you're going to have to cut that in half. So grandma might be able to do that for you. All right? Life is sweet when we have Jesus, right? Life is sweet. And this is the point, right? This is the point. Most of us think that life is going to be terrible if we're following Jesus, that we'd have to give up all the things we love. Like when I first became a Christian, I thought I'd have to give up my life. Do you know what? with God has become so much better. So much better. In fact, it's harder for me now not to believe than it is to believe. Our God is good. And our King has come. He is the greatest gift of all. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is alive and we are free. He is alive and we have found our peace. Our King has come. We're going to sing. Oh. Look at the magic cards. I have no idea what's happening. I'll have a look at them. Our King has come. What I want to do is I want to get the singers back up here. Can we get the singers back up? Come and take your stand. Get rid of that. Because our King has come. He is alive and we are free. He is alive and we have found our peace. Our King has come. Amen. So that's the whole song. He is alive and we are free. He is alive and we have found our peace. Our King has come. And we're just going to sing this a few times around. And if you want to close your eyes, I invite you to close your eyes. But here's the point. You need to accept Jesus. And some of us have done that. We've accepted Jesus. If you're watching online, you may have done that too. But some of us have just taken the wrapping off and not really dug deep into it. And so here's the challenge for you as we go into this Christmas week, is that we actually make Jesus the most important thing. And we start to dig deep as individuals and as a church. And if you're watching online, dig deep. And if that's what you want to do, you could just raise your hand as we're singing. You could join in singing. I don't know. Let the challenge hit your heart today. He is alive and we are free. He is alive and we have found our peace. Our King has come.